And the first time I learned ice skating was in Arizona. I was actually doing a week of prayer at Holbrook Indian School. And the teachers there told me, could Gabe and you chaperone the kids? So Gabe went with the boys. They did snowboarding and skiing. And I went with the girls for ice skating. I'm thinking, I have not done any ice skating before. And my balance is so bad. So friends, when I arrived in the ice skating rink, when I looked at the girls, it was not ice skating. They were hanging on for dear life. They were there, like, just hanging on the rails. And maybe only one or two of them are skating across the skating rink. I'm thinking, I don't want that my experience would be like that. So you know what, friends, I did? I did a shameful thing. I took the walker. Have you seen those blue walkers? Yes, friends, I took them. So I stacked two, and I went inside the skating rink. And while I was there skating, I'm thinking, wow, this is like leaning on Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You know why, friends? Because when I look at the girls, they're there hanging on for dear life. And here I am skating across the skating rink, going from edge to edge, front to back, and I'm secured. Friends, when these girls finally saw what I was doing, you know what happened? One by one got off of the skating rink. And in just 5 minutes, this whole skating rink was filled with blue walkers. One thing that I learned too, friends, if we will lean on Jesus, it will encourage others to lean on Jesus as well. So friends, tonight, oh no, not tonight. I'm so used to speaking every night. So today, that would still be the continuation of the story. Every story that I'll be sharing with you, every message that God has put in my heart is just a message that comes out of that theme of leaning fully on the one who holds our hands. And so friends, before we go any further, can I request those of you who are able to kneel down, celebrate those moments? Well, you can. And please, let's go lower before the presence of God. As I sit here, let us pray. Our great God, our dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. For you are such an awesome God, a God who desires to lead us by the hand. And thank you so much, Lord, for the way that you have been teaching us every step of the way. So, Lord, I ask in a very special way that may the anointing power of your Holy Spirit be upon us. Teach us, Lord, to learn your ways. And most especially, give in to your thoughts, give in to your plans, that you may you lead us to the way everlasting. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. And Lord, I ask that may you move me out of the way, that I may not be seen nor be heard, but Jesus and Jesus alone be seen, be heard, be lifted up and exalted. We ask all this in the loving and precious name of your Son, Jesus. Me and my friends say, amen. Amen. So friends, if you have your Bibles with you, please open it with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, and it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Friends, when I study, I like to read other versions. And the other version that I read here, especially in verse 8, from the New Living Translation, it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." Friends, isn't this beautiful? That God's ways are way higher than ours, and his thoughts are way higher than ours. So when I believe this is an invitation for God telling us, trust me, my ways and my thoughts are way better than yours. Can you say amen to that, friends? Who among you here would say that that is the right statement? Please raise your hand. Praise the Lord. So friends, I looked at SDA Bible Commentary, and I know for those of you who were there last night, I'm sorry, I just have to read this short passage again. It says here, "My thoughts," and I looked at the root word for this In the concordance, it says, my thoughts, designs, purposes, or plans. So can you imagine this, friends? Replace my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, or my design, my purposes, and my plans are higher than yours. And it says here, how little man comprehends of the boundless goodness and mercy of God, of his infinite purpose for every person saved by divine grace. Can you imagine this, friends? God has an infinite purpose for you and me. And the next line here is, higher than the earth, man's thoughts are of time, and God's of eternity. Wow. This is what we are just so focused on, things that are taking away our peace, and most of the time, even taking away our joy, are the things that we just see here. But God is wanting to take our minds off of those things and help us to focus on great and mighty things that He has prepared for us. And I love the last line that says, man thinks of what he can get, and God of what he can give. Beautiful, isn't it? God thinks of what he can what? He can give. And so this talk was actually inspired by the reading from Signs of the Times, February 21, 1900. And says here, friends, I'll read to you this paragraph. The worker of God regards the activities of life as essential for the advancement of the work. And this is what we talked about last night. Man thinks that activities are essential, or sometimes we even think that we are essential to the work. But listen to this, friends. He looks upon himself as a necessity, and self is mingled with all that is said and done. Then God interposes. Friends, I love this line here, because the moment we think that we are the solution, God steps in. Can you say amen to that, friends? God steps in. The Lord doesn't want us to go on thinking about those thoughts. He steps in. Then God interposes. He draws his child away from the earthly, which holds his attention, and that he may behold his glory. And God says, this poor soul has lost sight of me and my sufficiency. Whew. This poor soul has what? Lost sight of me and my sufficiency. His eye is not fixed upon his Lord. I must throw my light and my vitalizing power into his heart and thus prepare him for the work in the right lines. Friends, isn't this a beautiful way that God is redirecting our path again, redirecting our focus, not on ourselves, but on him. And friends, it says here, by anointing his eyes with the heavenly eye salt, I prepare him to receive the truth. And see, in this line here, I'll go back. This poor soul has lost sight of me and my sufficiency. And I often see this as I minister to other ministries, to other churches. My brothers and sisters gets overwhelmed, sometimes gets burned out with the task that is in front of them, the things that they're carrying on their shoulders. And friends, if you do not forget that we have a very sufficient God, I believe that all those burdens would somehow be manageable. Amen? And all the while, friends, I thought that self-sufficiency was a huge plus. I was trained to be self-sufficient. And then I read this quote that says, there's nothing so offensive to God or so dangerous to the human soul as pride and self-sufficiency. Of all sins, it's the most hopeless. Wow. Of all sins, it's the most hopeless. And here I see that God is trying to protect his worker. God is trying to protect his church from being self-sufficient. Why? Because there's so much more that we do not see when we depend fully on self. And last night I talked about giving praise to man. We talked about not even flattering men. And I love this thought here that I shared when I thought about this, because men, we are not capable of receiving praise. We think we are, but we aren't. Friends, who among you here who lives in a country that doesn't have like 110 volts, but 220 volts? I see some hands. Yeah, in the Philippines, we are in 220 volts. So when we bring appliances, friends, from the U.S. to the Philippines, and we forget that this appliance is 110, fireworks happen. Those expensive appliances gets fried. And here I realize this is what happens when I receive praise that it should not be mine. I get fried. Do you see this, friends? We're not supposed to. Our voltage is not designed for this. And so, friends, look at this. This is God's goodness here. The Lord is compelled to fortify the soul against self-sufficiency and self-dependence. Friends, would you say amen to this? The Lord is compelled to fortify the soul against self-sufficiency and self-dependence. And in order that the worker shall not regard his failings as virtues or goodness, and thus be ruined by self-exaltation. And sometimes, friends, the Lord makes his path to the soul by a process that is painful to humanity. And the work of purifying that is great work will always cause man suffering and trial. But he must pass through the furnace until the fires had consumed the dross that he can reflect the divine image. Wow. And I love this next line. It's painful, but I like it. Friends, praise God that we have a God who chastens us. If we are not chastened, then we are not loved. Who among you has been chastened by your parents? If you have a Filipina mom, then you will be chastened. I think among the brothers and sisters, among my siblings, I'm the most, they call me, I'm the most awarded one. I have received a lot of chastenings. So friends, listen to this. Those who follow their own inclination are not good judges of what the Lord is doing. Because why? Because God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." So friends, listen. And they are filled with discontent. They see failure where there is triumph. Isn't this a beautiful thought, friends? God is trying to redirect our thoughts here. We see failure where there is what? Where there is what? Triumph. And friends, listen to this. They see failure where there is triumph, loss where there is gain. And like Jacob, they are ready to exclaim. Remember Jacob, friends, when his son Simeon was left in Egypt, when he was there as a collateral, and then the deal was to bring the promised son, Benjamin, because they said, they revealed to Joseph, yes, Benjamin is still, we have another brother that's left back home. And Joseph demanded for that. And when Jacob heard that the prime minister there is wanting to see his son, friends, Joseph was so, not Joseph, Jacob was so heartbroken. And this is what he cried, "All these things are against me." He was thinking, friends, that his son is being taken away from him one by one. His son, his beloved son, Joseph, was just taken away from him, died. And now his son Simeon and his youngest son is about to be taken away from him. Friends, he did not even realize that he was about to be reunited with his so-called dead son. Friends, he was crying out, "All these things are against me." And I love the next line here. "When the very things whereof they complain are working together for their good." Can you say amen to that? Because why? "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And friends, let us consider the story of Paul. The experience of Paul for a little. At the very time when it seemed like the gospel's labor were most needed to strengthen the tried and persecuted church, guess what happened, friends? Paul was captured. Paul was put to prison. His liberty was taken away, and he was bound in chains. But this was the time for the Lord to work. Friends, can you say amen to that? Friends, that is a very weak amen. This is the time for the Lord to work. Amen. This is the time for the Lord to work.
Amen.
You need a conductor, friends. Listen to this. It seems like in your eyes, in the eyes of the believers, the work is over. But that was the time that the Lord is working.
Amen.
Friends, listen. It says here, when to all appearance Paul was able to do the least, then it was that the truth found an entrance into the royal palace. Whew! At least one person is excited. At that time when they thought it's over for our work to progress, but that was the way that God has designed to bring the message, the gospel, to the royal palace. Friends, you could not stop God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The enemy thought, friends, that he has had it. When he put the chains on Saul, on Paul, I mean. But no, friends, God was just starting. Listen to this, friends. Not Paul's masterly sermons before this great man. Not Paul's what? Masterly sermon. It's not his intellect. It's not his talent. But his bonds attracted their attention. And through his captivity, he was a conqueror for Christ. Friends, this is a wow moment. Can we all say wow? That wow is so sad. Wow. Friends, God is showing us, even in captivity, it might be captivity in your eyes, but for him, that's victory. Why? Because my thoughts are not your thoughts, the Lord says. Neither are your ways my ways. Friends, listen, though a prisoner, Paul, he had some privileges. Where not all prisoners have. He has the privilege of being visited by people. So people are allowed to visit him. And so the people, the brothers and sisters from the Philippians, not from the Philippines, the Philippian brothers and sisters came to visit him. And he encouraged them, my dear friends. And by the way, friends, this is someone who relies fully on Jesus, who does not have the eyes of men, but have the eyes of faith. Paul sees the way Jesus sees. He doesn't know how this gospel will progress, but he trusts the one who sees what he sees. Can you say amen to that? He trusts the one whose ways are higher than his. He trusts the one whose vision penetrates walls, penetrates future. And this is why Paul could just go on with his life, even in a dire situation, and be joyful. Listen, friends, if you have your Bibles with you, please open it with me. In Philippians 1, verses 3. Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11. And I'll just select some verses here that I'd like to read to you. I just want you to see a picture of the spirit of Paul, of his condition, even in prison. Verse 3, I'll read. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I'm reading here from New Living Translation. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. How could this someone who is in prison, whose hands are shackled, give thanks to God? Friends, listen. Verse 4, whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Wow. I make my request for all of you with joy. He's supposed to be the one to be prayed for, to be interceded for. And guess what? He's the one praying for his brothers and sisters. Next line here, verse 6. And I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And verse 9, I'll end here. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Friends, this is the guy who was thrown to prison in shackles. And he's the one encouraging those who are visiting him who are free. Friends, this is one thing that I realize here. When you trust God's ridiculous ways, because his ways are way higher than yours, his thoughts are way higher than yours. When you trust him, friends, even when you are in prison, you are more free than the people who are roaming outside. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Friends, and that's why Jesus is telling us, learn of me. Trust my ways. Trust my thoughts. And Christ says, this is from Christ's object lesson, the words that I speak to you, John 6, verse 63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are what? And they are life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. He that what? Believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. John 5, verse 24. In every command and in every promise of the word of God is the power and the very life of God. Friends, let me repeat that. Maybe you did not get it. In every command and in every promise of the word of God is the power and the very life of God. This is mind-blowing, friends. By which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. And next one, education. It says here, the creative energy that called the worlds into existence is in the word of God. The creative energy that called the worlds into existence is in the Word of God. Amen. Friends, can you imagine this? This power that created the world, He puts us in our hands, and He desires this in our hearts. No wonder, my dear brothers and sisters, that Paul, even though he is bound, he was freed. Even though he was in prison, he's the one who's encouraging his brothers and sisters. Friends, we are not in prison yet, but we sounded like we're in prison. Amen. Friends, this is the time for rejoicing. Amen. Amen? This is the time to be rejoicing and to be alive, my dear friends. Friends, listen. And it says here, oof, every command is a promise. Accepted by the will, received into the soul, it brings with it the life of the infinite one. Isn't this mind-blowing, friends, what God is giving us? I don't know about you, friends. I'm reading this. I'm having chills. Maybe I'm just nervous. No, I'm not nervous. I'm just having chills right now reading about this promise. It brings with it the life of the infinite one. How can we be dead Christians if this is the promise here? How can we just be Laodicea, lukewarm, if this is the promise? The life of the infinite one is in his promise. Oh, my dear friends, and listen, it transforms the nature and recreates the soul into the image of God. Friends, let's go back to Paul. Paul. And I realize here, by the way, friends, I'm not a theologian. I was supposed to be a businessman, but God brought me into his business. And so I was just like sitting down and asking God, Lord, please reveal to me, what do you want me to share? And friends, God has given me these simple things. If you want deep sermons, I'm sorry, friends, I'm not the right guy. So I was just like looking at the story of Paul. Paul was not even part of the original 12 disciples. Huh? He was not. Say yes if you hear me. Yes, he was not. The second one is, he was not even there to be benefited 3 years and a half of the teachings of Jesus. He was not able to sit at the foot of Jesus for 3.5 years. The disciples have been eating with Jesus, sleeping in the same house where Jesus slept, eating the same food, and witnessing miracles after miracles. Paul did not have that experience. And his only miracle was his miracle in Damascus. And that miracle cost him his sight. But friends, the moment he lost his sight, that humbled him. And he was humble enough to learn of him who stopped him on the road. Friends, listen, let's continue on with signs of the times. The sustaining grace of God ministered to Paul in his imprisonment, making him cheerful. Making him what? I didn't hear you. Making him what?
Cheerful.
Friends, who among you here has been to prison? Don't raise your hand. You're not in prison right now. You have to be more cheerful than Paul. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Friends, we're here clothed right now. And praise God, it's warm. I came from Berrien Springs. I'm thanking God that I'm California right now. It's warmer here. Friends, but there's so much more to be thankful for than that. Can you say amen to that? Oh, my dear friends, listen. Making him cheerful, and he could even rejoice in tribulation. He could even what? Rejoice in tribulation. Friends, if you're not rejoicing now, when there's no tribulation yet, my dear friends, there's something that we need to do. We have to lean on the God whom Paul was leaning on. Can you say amen to that? That we will have that joy because we could not create this cheerfulness apart from Jesus. We could not be joyful in tribulation apart from Jesus. Friends, listen. With faith and assurance, he writes to the Philippian brethren, showing them that his imprisonment has resulted, my dear friends, to the furtherance of the gospel. His imprisonment has resulted into the furtherance of the gospel. And he continued on with his writing. Let's go back again to Philippians 1. Now let's go to verse 12. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the gospel or the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. Knows that I am in chains because of whom? Because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Wow. Friends, you might be in similar situation where Paul is right now. But I pray, and please pray, that God will use your experience to encourage other people to praise God even in the midst of it all. Can you say amen to that, friends? And listen to this. We have a lesson to learn from this history, revealing as it does God's way of working. I love this. Listen to this, friends. Listen to this. The Lord can bring victory out of that which to us may seem discomfiture and defeat. It is always his plan to disappoint the enemy. It is always his plan to what? Then why are we the ones who are always disappointed? We are not the enemy. Did you hear this, friends? It is God's plan to always disappoint the enemy. Even what it seems like a defeat, friends, if we trust his ways that are way higher than our ways, if we trust his thoughts, his plans, his design, his purposes, which is higher than yours, my dear friends, it's not going to be you who's going to be disappointed. It's going to be the enemy. And listen, friends, the next thought here. We are apt to forget God and look at the things which are seen, which are temporal. The things that are seen are what? But we should look at the things which are not seen, which are eternal. When misfortune or sudden calamity comes, we are ready to charge God with cruelty. Isn't this the thing, friends? Isn't this the case? Have you noticed that every time that there is a calamity, the world calls it an act of God? But it's not God's hand that does that. It's the enemy who does that. And the enemy just like gets away unscathed. Scratchless. Friends, I love this Bible commentary on 2 Kings 6, verse 16. This is about Elisha and his servant. Remember that servant who was scared when he woke up one morning and he was surrounded. He was surrounded by enemies. Can you imagine, friends? He was trying to do a run. Maybe he was trying to check his inbox and check on Messenger. And all of a sudden, he saw the army surrounding him. And he came to Elisha, and Elisha prayed that the Lord will open his eyes. So I looked at the SDA Bible commentary here, and it says, open his eyes. The greatest realities cannot be seen by the eyes of flesh. Can you say amen again? Amen. The greatest realities cannot be seen by the eyes of flesh. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, it says here, I just picked the middle part, which says, For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And again, friends, I like to read to you the other version that says, New Living Translation, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I love the Living Bible version. It says here, we look forward to the joys in heaven which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over. The troubles will what? Can you say that louder? The troubles will what?
Soon be over.
The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. The joys to come will last forever. Friends, we get too distracted here that we focus on the things that takes away our peace, that takes away our joy, where God has prepared for us a joy that is fireproof, a joy that would not rust, a joy that will not age to the end of time. Friends, listen to this. Continuing on with the commentary, with the eyes of faith, we can only see with the eyes of flesh, we could only see things of flesh. Spiritual things, finish the statement, are spiritually discerned. Our greatest need is that our eyes may be open and that we may see God and the vital importance of the things of His kingdom. Unless God opens our eyes, we may go through life as blind men. Who among you here whose eyes needs to be opened? Some of you could see already. You don't have to raise your hands. I'll raise both hands. Maybe one good foot, friends. Our eyes needs to be opened. Listen to this next line. I love this. This is my favorite part here in the commentary, which says, when we pray to God, our eyes are open. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this a beautiful irony? The moment you close your eyes, you begin to see. When you pray to God, your eyes will be open. And here I see, friends, this is the eyes of faith. And I've been involved with the prayer ministry for 14 years and 3 months now. And you know one thing that I learned? I do not know how to go through life without God leading my life. Friends, for 14 years, the only thing that somehow convicts me to go forward is that He's the one leading. And He sees the end from the beginning. Can you say amen to that? And He desires to lead you as well. So friends, going back to signs of the times, it says here, if He sees fit to cut off, this is quite painful. Listen, friends. If He sees fit to cut off our usefulness in some line, we mourn and lament. We do not stop to consider that this may be God's way of working. We have yet to learn that chastisement is a part of God's great plan, that under affliction's rod, we may do far more for the Master than when engaged in active service. Did you hear this, friends? You want me to read it again? Oh, you don't have any choice. I'll read it again. That maybe under affliction's rod, we may do far more for the Master than when engaged in active service. Friends, this is why at the beginning, God wants to correct the mentality of man. We are not the essentials in this work. Friends, God could have used angels, and angels would have done a better work. And I know why God is wanting to use me, because He wants to save me. Can you say amen to that, friends? Amen. God is wanting to use you because He desires to save you. Friends, listen. I inserted this from Testimonies of the Church, Volume 4. The followers of Christ may be doing some work for the Master and yet not be doing half of what they might do. Did you hear this? We might be doing this active work for the Master, but we might not be doing even half of what we're supposed to do. And listen, friends, and then He prunes them because while worldliness, self-indulgence, and pride are cropping out their lives. Friends, remember that beautiful passage in John 15? It says, the Father, what? Prunes. He prunes the vine. And friends, pruning is painful. Would you agree? Yes or no? But friends, just remember who holds the knife. It is the Father who holds the knife. So listen, friends, another beautiful thought before I close here. It says, because a man, this is going back again to signs of the times, because a man is sick, God does not lay him aside. He makes use of the sickness. And the man who exercises unshaken faith under suffering exercises a more telling influence than he could possibly do in health. This is a powerful line. Often, the one afflicted or the afflicted one can preach a more effectual sermon from his sickbed than ever he preached from the pulpit. Friends, God's ways are really ridiculous, isn't it? It might be ridiculous in your eyes, but it makes sense in eternity. Can we say amen to that, friends? And it says here, and it is on the sick bed that the sustaining power of God is magnified. Thank God for three people. And it is on the sick bed, my dear friends, that the sustaining power of God is magnified. Oh, what did Paul say? And when I am weak, then I am strong. Friends, I met this family, I think five years or 7 years ago when I did a week of prayer in Wichita Hills. I don't know, maybe some of you knows the Powell family. But while I was there doing a week of prayer, that's the same week, friends, that this whole family somehow found out the final diagnosis of their mom. She had ALS. And friends, the moment she found out that she had ALS, she started recording these powerful, beautiful messages on YouTube. And she knows for a fact that she'd be losing her ability to speak. And so she started encouraging people through these recordings. And she said, I might not be able to speak to my grandkids. I might not be able to see them, but she was able to see them, friends. And here, you might see something that is far from heaven's perspective. And you might question, Lord, why this family? Because this family is just like one of the most adorable families, one of the most amazing families. Their kids are very active in the service, very active young kids. Their son, I think, is even training to be a pastor in one other church. Their daughter is a teacher. And friends, the other one is a nurse, and all of them loves Jesus. And you might be wondering, why her? And a lot of people were praying, saying that, no, God will heal you. But friends, His thoughts are not our thoughts. Friends, guess what? Shelley Powell, that's her name, Shelley Powell now is in a wheelchair. She could not even move her finger. She communicates with just the vision through through the computer that brings out words. And friends, I was there, I think, 2 years ago, and I was just, my heart just goes out to this family. I became like part of the family because I was there during the week of prayer at the height of our spiritual experience there in Wachita Hills. And we were just having a wonderful time of fellowship there. And when I came back 3 or 5 years later, my heart was just like crushed. And I was there trying to encourage her. And guess what, friends? It was her who encouraged me. And that's the testimony of every person who goes to their house. Said, Jem, the same thing. I went there trying to encourage her, trying to encourage the family. But in the end, I was the one who got encouraged. I was just talking to her sister 2 weeks ago, and she told me, yeah, Jem, Shelly told me that if given a chance to choose, she would choose the same life. She would choose the same life. Why? Because she knows that she is being held by the God whose ways are ridiculous in our eyes, but it does make sense in heaven. Can you say amen, friends? When we are pressed by suffering or bereavement, God sends the needed help, and His promises are proved to be steadfast and unfailing. Friends, I love this thought here, Desire of Ages, 679, paragraph 2. Remember, friends, the premise of our talk right now, for my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts, and my ways are way higher than your ways. Listen to this. He knew, Jesus knew, that the life of His trusting disciples would be like His, a series of uninterrupted victories. A series of what? Friends, who among you here desires to live a life like this? A series. Some of you did not raise your hand. I don't know. Maybe you want some defeat here and there. We're so used to experiencing defeat, and uninterrupted victory might be boring. Friends, who among you here desires to have this life? A series of uninterrupted victories. Praise the Lord. Friends, listen, not seen to be such here, but recognized as such in heaven. Friends, you know what? Shelley have seen God's goodness, have experienced God's power as she leans fully on Jesus. And before I close, I remember listening to a podcast and watching it on YouTube as well. Is anyone here as familiar with Why They Did That? And there was this episode with David, Pastor David Shin, and that was one of my favorite episodes. And the last part, he talked about Joni Erickson Tada. Friends, among you here has heard her story. I think she was 16 or 17 when she jumped to the river and hit her head on the riverbed. And all of a sudden, when she went up, my dear friends, she could not even lift her limbs. And she thought that this is just going to be temporary. She was an active, very bubbly, lively young woman, very talented, full of life. And all of a sudden, she did not know, friends, that she'd be paralyzed from the neck down. Friends, she became quadriplegic. And she revealed, said she was so frustrated of her life, she did not even want to live anymore. She wanted to commit suicide. But how can a quadriplegic commit suicide? I said, even in committing suicide, I'm a failure. That's what she said. But friends, guess what? Joni Erickson Tada is now inspiring, I believe, millions of people to trust in Jesus. God is using him to bring life to those people who have complete use of their hands and their feet. And friends, I love the line when David Shin said, Joni was talking to one of her closest friends. He said, you know what? When Jesus comes, if I get a chance to pick something to bring to heaven, I want to bring my wheelchair. I want to bring my wheelchair. And her friend asked her, why would you bring your wheelchair? Because I would want to sit on this wheelchair, rub the arms of the wheelchair, and look at Jesus and tell him, thank you for this. Because of this, I learned to lean harder on you. Friends, that is the one who gives in to God's ridiculous ways, who trusts God's ridiculous thoughts, because his thoughts are way higher than our thoughts, and his ways are way higher than our ways. My dear friends, it might be difficult, but if it's God's purpose to bring, to make you as his instrument so that his brightest light would shine through you, then praise God for it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Friends, as our praise team today will sing the closing song, I'd like to make this appeal for our brothers and sisters who are here. If you want to say to the Lord right now, Lord, I want to give in to your ways. I may not understand it, but help me to trust you. Because your ways are higher than our ways. And your thoughts are way higher than my thoughts. Friends, if it's your desire to say, Lord, have thine own way in my life, please stand and come forward here. And I'll do a special prayer for you later. Praise God. Come, friends. You could press closer here. Praise the Lord.
Please join us as we sing our song, hymn 567, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Let's bow our heads. Our great God, our dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you that you see things that we cannot see. And you know things that we cannot even know, Lord, or even think or imagine. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you that it is your desire to carry us through, even in the most difficult situation that we are in. So Lord, I ask in a very special way that may you give us, Lord, the faith of Jesus, the heart to trust you in whatever lot in life that we are in. And help us, Lord, not to see things from our own perspective, but give us, Lord, the eyes of faith. That even though we don't see things, that we'll have the heart to trust you. For we know the God who's holding us. So, Lord, I ask in a very special way right now for each and every person that is here, that is bowed before you. Lord, I don't know what they're going through, but you do, dear Father. And Lord, we praise and we thank you that at times that we think that you do not care, you are actually there with us. And even before we wept and cried, you are the first one who wept and cried for us. So dear Father, I pray in a very special way. Help us, Lord, to take you at your word. Help us, Lord, to trust you even though the things that are happening around us, dear God, are not trustworthy, but help us to remember that we have a trustworthy God. So, Lord, I pray in a very special way that we, as we are seeing all these things around us right now, even things that we thought are stable are being taken away from us. Lord, please help us to invest on things that would last for eternity. Give us, Lord, the eyes of faith. Give us, O Lord, the desire to give all to you. And Lord, we pray in a very special way as we come before you right now, as we stand in front of your beautiful, wonderful, amazing presence. Lord, I pray that may you take us by the hand and may you teach us, Lord, to give in to you. We don't know what to do, O Lord, but we tell you right now, have thine own way in our lives. Have thine own way in my heart. And lead us, O Lord, into the way everlasting. Lord, I ask in a very special way that may your hand continually be upon this church. Draw us nearer. Take us deeper, Lord, in our walk with you. And Lord, I pray that may your name be lifted higher in our lives. In whatever situation that we are in, may the world will see that a life lived for you is a life of peace, even in the midst of the storm. Thank you so much, Lord, because we know that you can't wait to take us to that heavenly home. So Lord, please help us to be faithful. Baptize us, Lord, with the baptism of your Holy Spirit. And bring us back again tonight, O Lord. There's still a few more nights left. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Lord, I pray that may you continue to speak to us. Draw us nearer, O Lord. We don't want to be anywhere else. We only want to be at the center of the hollow of your hand. It will always be at the center of your will. Again, dear Father, we praise you and we thank you that you are our God, that you are our Father, and you desire also to be our friend. We give you back all the praises, the glory, and the honor, and we pray all this in the loving and precious name of your Son, Jesus. All your children say, Amen. Amen.